This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Borders, Boundaries, and the Bible.
This morning's message is entitled, Borders, Boundaries, and the Bible, and really, in parenthesis, and you. Borders, Boundaries, the Bible, and you. Because when this taglines come, I want to be able to speak to you. And the borders and boundaries that you put around yourself, things that you think you can't do with God's help. God's word tells us that he has established borders and boundaries in nature. Think about this. The winds have a prescribed route, and that prescribed route affects our weather. I mean, the jet stream is very, very important to the weather here on the Northeast. Good or bad, it affects us. And God ordained, the scripture tells us, the circuits of the winds, they're all there. And then he has also provided that oceans and lakes and rivers are contained within land masses. And God has also set limits on tyrants. I mean, if you think about it, Adolf Hitler, we should all be speaking German right now. Adolf Hitler had every potential and every probability to be a world dictator, and he failed. You see, God puts limits on tyrants. And God puts limit on evil. It will just go so far and no more. True science operates within the constraints of natural and mathematical law. They can't violate the law. If you think about it, rockets are sent into orbit at a particular time and a particular moment. If they miss that window of opportunity based on mathematics, they will go in a completely different orbit than they were intended to go in. All of this stuff is laid out in such a marvelous way. God didn't just slap this thing together. God put all of this together, and it all is like a finely tuned clock. There are those who said, yeah, well, God created the clock, and God wound it up, and then he walked away from it. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God's very much involved with his creation. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's in here. The Holy Spirit is in here, and it should make a difference in your life. And like it or not, God has set boundaries on moral behavior, and while the government can remove the Ten Commandments from the public square, the government cannot remove the consequences of us walking away from God's law. There are and there will be moral consequences that follow men's breaking of God's moral law, and we're seeing it now. We're seeing what's happening in the high schools. We're seeing these shootings, and we don't understand it. You know, 60 years ago, the worst things that kid did in school was put bubble gum under the desk. That was like some of the worst things teachers had to deal with. But now, you have to have some kind of metal detector in order to get into a school. I was shocked by that years ago when I was part of an organization called Junior Achievement, where a businessman would go into the high schools and teach kids what's called practical economics. And the first school I was assigned back those years ago was my own public school, John Jay High School on 7th Avenue in Brooklyn. And when I went back into that high school to do this course, I had to walk through a metal detector. I was shocked and surprised by that, and it's gotten worse since then. So let's do a definition of what a border is. A border is, quote, the line or frontier area separating political divisions or geographical regions. The Bible puts it this way. In Psalm 74, 17, God has set all the borders of the earth. Think about that. The Bible says that God set up the borders of the earth. Does that mean that when you look at a map of America that he drew the line around New Jersey or drew the line around Pennsylvania? We're not talking about those things. The Concise Atlas of the World tells us, quote, many of the world's countries are divided by physical borders, lakes, rivers, and mountains. So when you think about it, much of the border between Canada and the United States is divided by the Great Lakes, Lake Superior, Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, Lake Huron. They divide to a great extent the eastern half of the United States and Canada. The Danube River forms all or part of the border between 9 European nations, Germany, Austria, Slovakia, Hungary, Croatia, Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, Romania, and the Ukraine. The Pyrenees Mountains form a natural border between France and Spain. It is these natural borders the Bible speaks of that God mandated. In other words, God set them up to be borderlines and boundary lines and separating. If you think about it, one of the biggest issues being faced on the political scene today is what do we do about our southern border? These things that the Bible talks about are still contemporary here in 2015, and we're still dealing with these issues. The first border described by its physical features is found in the Bible, and it tells us where the Garden of Eden is. Imagine that. Now, there's nothing on PowerPoint today, so you're going to have to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 to 14. And I would have had some good illustrations of this behind me. So you're going to have to follow along carefully as I try to draw word pictures for you. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 to 14. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's you. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the land and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that which encompasses the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goes toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth is the river Euphrates. So of this garden eastward in Eden, Genesis 13 connects Eden to the land of Egypt. It was part of Egypt. Where is Egypt? Egypt is in Africa. Can you see that? And Amos 1:5 speaks of the house of Eden being located near Damascus in Syria. So we've got Africa, we've got Syria. Isaiah 51:3 connects Zion at Jerusalem to Eden. And then we've got Israel involved in it. When we piece all these verses together, what emerges is a triangle. Picture this. Its apex, the top of it, is in Turkey at Mount Ararafat. Mount Ararafat is the highest mountain in Turkey. Anybody know what Mount Ararafat is famous for? Noah's Ark landed on the top of Mount Ararafat, the highest point. Its eastern leg, going 1,000 miles down to southern Iraq, its base going west to the Nile River in Egypt, and its second leg extending to its apex in Turkey. This triangle, described in the Bible as the Garden of Eden, is where all life was born. Think about that. That place, spelled out in the Bible, whose borders and boundaries are enumerated, is where life started. Science agrees and calls this general area the Fertile Crescent or the cradle of civilization. It's in your book, and it should be in your science books too. The Bible called it. The Bible also defines a portion of this area as the land God promised to the 12 tribes of Israel. Ezekiel 47:13. Thus said the Lord God, this shall be the border whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions. Go with me to Genesis 13, verses 14 to 17. Genesis 13, 14 to 17. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which you see to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Israel, that land was given to the Jewish people by God. He says it's yours forever. That's a contract he didn't make with anybody else. And so the land within those prescribed borders contained the very first city ever conquered. And that was the city of Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Jericho. Now, you know that the United Nations, the United States, the European powers have done everything they can to try to create peace between the Palestinians and Israel. And one of the brilliant ideas they had to create peace was to tell Israel, if you want to have peace, you're going to have to give away some of your land. This is the land that they gave us, that God gave us. It's like somebody saying, if you want immigrants to stop coming from Mexico, why don't you just give them half of Texas? And everything will be all right. Well, interestingly, the very first city they gave away, the very first geographic area that was given away in that United Nations American structured peace agreement was Jericho. The first city they ever gained was now the first city they ever lost. Do they have peace? No. The land's got nothing to do with the enemies of Israel. History tells us that legal borders can shift and change dramatically over time. Israel's borders has changed dramatically over the few years since 1948 that it was started. There are over 60 disputed borders in the world today. 60. Disputes over Jammu and Kashmir have caused three serious wars between Pakistan and India since 1947. Since 1953, the 38th parallel, anybody know where that is? It divides North Korea from South Korea. You know, we've got hundreds, if not thousands, of soldiers on that border protecting it. And there are rumors that we've even got atomic warfare on that border to protect it. There are over 190 sovereign nations in the world today, but the Bible tells us a day is coming when the borders of the nations of the world will be dramatically changed. They will be redrawn. The reason for this alignment is found in biblical prophecy. The Bible tells us that some event is going to be world-shaking in the years ahead. We're going to learn more about this next week when we do a sermon on Bible prophecy, but I want to give you just a little lick of it today. Revelation 17, verses 9 to 13. Here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strengthen unto the beast. The Bible identifies at least five regions of a ten-region confederacy that will combine to live under the dictates of a one-world government. We are closer to the idea of a one world government being fulfilled than we have ever been ever since this conversation about a one world government has begun. This has been the idea of political liberals since they became political liberals after World War II. This has been an idea in their minds to create a one world system. You will hear just about every famous politician who is more progressive talk about the idea that the world would be better if we just were able to come under one system. That's one of the reasons why the United Nations was established, to get all of the nations together under one governing body. The day is coming when that will happen. You're beginning to see the framework for that established just as you read the newspapers and see the morning news. Some of the players are very clearly identified. Let me just give you a quick run through. One of those players identified in the Bible as being part of this confederacy is Russia. Now, for the last several years, everybody thought Russia is finished. Everybody thought that, well, if there was such a thing as prophecy and involved Russia, you could forget it because Russia is not even a shadow of what it used to be. Hello, somebody. Anybody read about the Ukraine? Anybody know what's going on in the Middle East right now in Syria, where Russia is moving planes and machines and men into the Middle East as we, the United States, abandon the Middle East? These are all the ways in which Bible prophecy is coming true while you breathe. I could have given this message 20 years ago, and I'd be talking about it as good godly speculation based on the evidence in Scripture. Not only do I have the evidence of Scripture, but I have current events to share with you. Think about it. Another one is the United Europe, renewed Roman Empire, the Bible called it. The United European Union is having all kinds of issues today with Greece more or less becoming bankrupt. But you know what? Even though Greece is an issue, it's still part of the EU, and the EU is doing whatever it can do to hold it together. It's interesting that Europe is now being infiltrated by hundreds of thousands of citizens from Syria who no longer have a safe place to live. And those migrants are coming from Africa. They're coming from where? They're coming from just about all the Muslim states into the Western states of the European Union. How does that fit into Bible prophecy? It does. And then the Bible talks about this group being the United Asian States. Asian states? What is that all about? The Arab states, I should say. The Arab states were all disparate tribes. If you think about all of these countries, Saudi Arabia and all the other ones you think about when you think about the Arab states, these were headed up by mullahs and these were headed up by tribe leaders and whatnot, sheikhs and whatnot. But you know what's happening? ISIS is moving across the Middle East, and it's bringing something that the Quran predicted would happen, and that is a caliphate, a United Arab Nations. It's happening as you open up the papers. That United Arab Nations is happening in your time as you breathe, as you observe it. All you got to do is open your eyes. All you got to do is open your ears. You know, people don't want to listen to the news. They don't want to try to find out what's happening. Young people especially, they would rather text somebody. They'd rather go on Facebook. They'd rather do this and they'd rather do that. Meanwhile, the world is crumbling around our ears. And then the escalating friction between China and Japan. What most people don't realize is happening right now. China is beginning to exert its dominance on the Pacific Rim. China right now decided that the China Sea is theirs. And they took little bits of islands. And you know what they've done with those little islands that were off the China Sea in disputed area? China could make a claim to it. Japan could make a claim to it. Vietnam could make a claim to it. But you know what? China said, we're the biggest dog in the ocean. We'll claim it. We'll take it. And now they have expanded those islands, and they're putting fortified military bases on there so they can control the China Sea. If they control the China Sea, they control everything there. And you want to know why? Because America has stepped away. And finally, Israel. Israel, squeezed by every nation of the world. None of the Middle Eastern countries want Israel to survive. Almost all of them have in their constitution, based on Sharia law, that Israel should not survive, that Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth. And there have been many times when the European countries have been cold toward Israel. Right now, the third strongest trading partner and the country that's standing next to Israel more than just about anybody else, believe it or not, is Germany. The Germans have such a tremendous sense of guilt about what happened during the Holocaust that they have decided almost to adopt Israel. But you know who was always Israel's best friend? You know who almost always stood beside Israel in the United Nations? America. And we're abandoning them today. This is Bible prophecy fulfilled before your eyes and your ears. As they play out before us, these events present both warnings and a word of encouragement. As soon as we start talking about Bible prophecy and its dire implications, people get frightened. But Jesus said, don't be frightened. First, let me give you the warning. 2 Peter 3:8, 10. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the clock is ticking. The day will come. I mean, there are personal, in my mind, as I wax poetic, there are personal trumpets the believer hears when they're just at the doorstep of eternity. I said it in Jim's funeral. I wonder if in the closing moments as he sat in his chair with his Bible reading it, if he wasn't hearing the sound of the trumpet for him and the archangel shouting, come home, Jim. I wonder if the day is so close. I wonder if all of us in this room will hear the trumpet of the Lord as he calls us to come out from this planet and meet him in the air before everything falls apart. That's the warning. It's coming. You have unsaved friends. You have unsaved family. If they don't know Christ And he was to come and take all the church out of here. They're going to be left here without him. The challenge, 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Whatever time remains before the Lord comes, whether it be days, months, years, we must be about his work to reach others for Christ and to reach our full potential as believers. Too many of us are playing at being a Christian. Too many of us are playing at church. Too many of us take this as an elective. This is a mandate. God would have us to use this time to expand the borders of our faith and of our faithfulness. Turn with me to the prayer of Jabez. I talked about this yesterday in just a little bit. 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to find that because I know it's not going to be easy. It's right after Kings. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. Jabez, only two verses. By the way, somebody wrote a book on this, and then there was a whole movement on this. Just two verses. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. It was a painful delivery. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, enlarge my coast, my borders, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. He made five requests. He said, bless me, enlarge my borders, keep your hand on me, keep me from evil. Keep me from grief. Who here wouldn't pray that prayer? Who here at some point hasn't prayed that prayer? This is a simple prayer from a simple man. And this is a prayer that you can pray and a prayer whose answer you can claim. His life was marked by sorrow. He cried out to the living God for a life that mattered. A life lived beyond the borders and limitations he had placed on himself, but lived within the borders of God's plan for him. He had put limitations on himself. Christians, you are sitting here putting limitations on what God can do with you and how God can use you and how God wants to use you. We all think this is a pastime rather than a full time. We all think this is just something, you know, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, let's get dressed and let's get ready for church. It's got to be more than that to you for you to be living a living faith. This is only a small piece of what it's all about. Jabez didn't want a life separated from God so he could do his own thing or find himself. He wanted a life dedicated to God in which the sky was the limit. Do you want a life filled with purpose in which the sky is the limit? Or are you saying, hey, Pastor, just about the height of the ceiling would be good enough for me? Why are you putting a box around God? And why are you putting a box around what God wants to do with you? He wanted a life bigger than himself. Verse 10 says, and God granted him that which he requested. These ordinary requests made by most believers, God granted to Jabez, and he could also grant to you. God wants your whole family saved. Is that too big a dream for you? It's not too big a dream for God. Keep pushing the boundaries. God wants the church to go beyond the borders and boundaries of a building. Ministry is about people. Ministry is about introducing those people to the Savior. God wants you to push the boundaries of your spiritual growth. You may be at a place where you think, you know, you're running on all eight cylinders. But if you really were honest and examined yourself, you'll see that you are not. You'll see that you're not trying to reach your family for Christ. You're not encouraging and inviting people to come to church. You're not witnessing when you have an opportunity. Your prayer life is pretty shallow. Your study of God's word, you sometimes don't even pick up that book in the course of a week. Sometimes the only time you think about God is when you're here. Unacceptable. God wants you to push the boundaries on your spiritual growth. He wants you to push the boundaries on your knowledge of God, becoming a student of the book. How many times do you avail yourself of the opportunities to be part of Bible study or Sunday school or getting to your own study or getting into the discipling ministry? Ways in which you can understand more, ways in which you can grow the knowledge you have about what you believe and why you believe it. If anybody were to ask you what you believe and why you believe it, how could you answer them intelligently? Unless you put in a little legwork. I never graduated from a seminary, but I've studied this book since I've been 15. This book in one hand and a concordance in the other hand. I can stand up here with all the authority of this book and speak these words because I decided I wanted to be all out for Christ. God wants you to push the boundaries of your prayer life. In other words, don't put limits on what God can do. You say, well, Pastor, I've been praying for my fill in the blank. I've been praying for this fill in the blank, and nothing has happened. Who said it was time to stop praying? You did. You put a boundary on just how long you would pray for this. You didn't pray it through until it came to conclusion. Keep praying until it comes to the conclusion. Keep praying until something happens. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let go, and don't stop. You do that, you're dead meat. Because once you stop, and once you just take this like a holiday or an event, your Christian life is not an event, it's a way of life. Once you do that, Satan's got you. He's got you sidetracked. Push the boundary of your church life. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, lifting up one another, encouraging one another, treating one another with honor and respect, and so much more as you see the day approaching. In a day when we see the handwriting on the wall that prophecy is coming true before our very eyes and ears, this is even more sense of urgency why you should be here with us. And why we should be here together, and why should we as a body be going beyond the borders of this building to reach this community for Christ? We should be having a sense of urgency. Look at all the opportunities you have to serve Jesus Christ, whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whether you're a youth. You have something to contribute. God has a purpose for you. It's deep down embedded in your DNA and in your spiritual genes. What are you going to do about it? I'm challenging you this morning to forget about the limitations you placed on yourself and the borders that you placed on yourself and the regulations that you placed on yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you across those borders so that with His help, you may grow in faith and in faithfulness. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.